number 25, the book of Exodus, chapter number 25. So good to see you this morning. Let's stand on the reading of the Word of God, found in the book of Exodus, chapter number 25. Brother Roger, I'd like to thank everybody for praying for him and his new job this week, and glad the Lord still answers prayers. Amen. Glad we've got a God that can hear us. Folks worshiping Buddha don't have that privilege this morning. And I'm glad we've got a God that looks in on His children. Now, if you would be patient with me today, I'd appreciate it. Don't have a lot of voice. If you'd try to listen, I'd like to try to start a series of messages on the Ark of God. I've been studying these days on this very important article of the tabernacle. And with this, the Ark of God brought the presence of God. And let me tell you, Liberty Baptist Church, look around, the church is full this morning. And I'm grateful of that. I hope next year we can start in, we can add our new addition, and I mean that with all my heart. But let me tell you something. If we don't have the presence of God here, then we've wasted a lot of money. There's a lot of new families here. I'm glad of that. A lot of new faces. But if they're not introduced to the presence of God, they've wasted gas money to get here. Because you see, they can get entertainment any place in this world. And this is something I want to say as your preacher this morning. I don't know how long I'll be preaching, but I do want to say this before I'm done. Unfortunately, there's a lot of preachers in the country, in the community, that has purposed in their heart to try to build a place of activity for the world. That's not in my heart. I'm not in the entertainment business. God's church is always supposed to be in difference. Now, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad it's full, and I'm glad we've got a pretty place to go to church. But if there's ever been a day and hour when our country needs the presence of God, it is this morning. If there's ever been a time, Mama and Daddy, where your children need the presence of God, it is this morning. We've got enough showboat. We've got enough entertainment. We've got way too many lights flashing. We need God in the midst of this thing. So help me as I preach this morning. It may be a little different what you're accustomed to in my style of preaching. But pray for me. I would be grateful. In the book of Exodus chapter 25, verse number 8, God said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." I want to tell you something. This isn't our sanctuary. It's His. We're just blessed to be able to go to church here. And He said, you say, well, how come you know it's His? Because ain't nobody's name on it but His. According to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. He said, now, if you're going to make me a place to go to church, this is what I want. This is what I got to have. Number one, I want you to make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within, without shall you overlay it. Thou shalt make on it a crown of gold round about. You'll put 4 rings of gold for it. Put them in the 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on the one side, 2 on the other. You shall make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the staves in the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staff shall be in the rings, and they shall not be taken from it. Thou shalt put in the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. I want to thank you, God, that your house is filled this morning. I do with all my heart. God, I'm amazed of what you've done at this place in these times. God, I'm amazed of how good you've been to us in spite of us. Lord, we want to thank you for your Son that you gave us to die on the cross. Help me now in the preaching. I sure do need your touch this morning. Help me, I pray. Give me the things that I've studied. Let them be real to us today. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. I want to preach this morning on the topic of the Ark of Redemption. the ark and its redemption. You'll notice that it was on the heart of God to have a place that would be called His house. He said, make me a sanctuary in Exodus 25 and 8. I want to say that a sanctuary ought to be a distinct place. A sanctuary ought to be a designed place. And a sanctuary ought to be a different place where God's people can come in and be in a sanctuary with God. A lot of you deer hunters, you that can't relate to this, but you that hunt, you know where if a big deer lives in a sanctuary, you never go in that sanctuary to disturb him. You know why? Because he has comfort there and he gets all the protection there that he needs. If there's ever been a time when God's, look up here this morning, if there's ever been a time when God's people need a sanctuary to get away from this world, to get a place of safety and refuge and everything that we need, it is this morning. And thank God He had a mind to build us a sanctuary. Now, I want you to notice that in this sanctuary, you'll notice there was a command. The first vessel that was instructed in verse 10 was to build him an ark. The dimensions of this ark was not very big. It was about the size of this communion table. Some 4.5 foot long, some 2.5 foot wide, and 2.5 foot deep. God designed this article that it would be the first that would be put in the tabernacle. And that leads me to the first point. There is the command of the ark. Now, the first vessel in the sanctuary was mentioned. You know why? That's where God would meet with His people. Can I tell you that without this ark, there would be no sanctuary? Without the presence of God, there would be no sanctuary. We have songbooks, we have Bibles, we have pews, we have instruments. But I come to tell you, if we don't have the presence of God, we don't have no sanctuary. Oh my, we need the sanctuary. We see its command and its impression. Now make an ark of shittim wood. This was out of the Achaia tree. There's the impression of this vessel. It was first in the sanctuary, but then secondly, it was not only the impression of it, but the importance of it. You see, the whole service would be meaningless without its presence. And then the impact of it. In Exodus 25 and verse number 8, he said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. It's why the temple was built, to house the presence of God. I love going to church where God is. Boy, I love when God will move around His people. And isn't it amazing on the heart of God? He wanted Moses to build a sanctuary where he would have the preeminence. Liberty Baptist Church, this thing's not about me and you. This thing's not about happy birthday, Aunt Sally. This thing is about the lovely one that died on an old rugged cross and soon to come after His children. I realize the Bible says a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Thank God there is friends in the ministry here this morning. But I will remind you, when we're all dead and gone, there'll be one standing on the throne of glory. There's only one that can help you out of your situation this morning. That is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we remain focused on the main reason in this season. It's not about the gifts under the tree, honey. It's about the one that was put upon a tree for me and you, that hung and died for the sins of this old world. There's the command. And then you'll notice there's the contents. Within this ark, it had a lid upon it, but it had three things inside. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, for sake of time, verses 1 through 4, you'll see that it had the golden pot of manna. And there it foreshadowed Christ as the bread of life. When God was sojourning with His children out of Egypt, as they crossed, God rained manna out of heaven 6 days a week. He rained enough on Saturday that they may store up to have on Sunday. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that He still is the bread of life this morning. And in this ark, there was this golden pot of manna. It was the food for the pilgrim journey. Honey, let me tell you, you may go to restaurants and eat, but you'll never have a meal like the bread of life
of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It brings great sustenance to the soul this morning. A lot of people feeding the flesh, but you need soul food today. Amen. I'm glad the Lord Jesus is that manna from heaven. And in that golden pot, it was full. I'm glad what John said it was full of grace and of truth and mercy. I'm glad our God is the manna for pilgrims sojourning in this strange and this old tiring land. I'm glad He's got enough to go around this morning. And in that ark, there was the golden pot of manna. Number two, the Bible said in Hebrews 9, 1 through 4, it was also Aaron's rod that budded. I looked this up. I wasn't real familiar about it. I'd heard it a lot. But there was 12 tribes of Israel. There was a group in that congregation that felt like they had the rights to minister in the sanctuary. However, God had requirements. God had picked the Levitical tribe, that of Aaron, to do all the service of the Lord. Can I tell you, God's still calling people into the service in this day, in this hour. I'm glad God is still appointing people to do service in the house of God. They got in confusion, and they must have been Baptists as about ready to fight. And God said this, I tell you what you do. You take and cut down 12 rods. You write each name upon the rod for each tribe that's here. You put them before the Ark of the Covenant. And in the morning, the rod that is bloomed, you let them be over the priestly household. He wrote Aaron's name on it. And that next morning when they got up, honey, there was a rod that had blossomed. There was the Levites. The rod of glory had blossomed out. God said, I've organize, that God called me and will carry the ministry. Honey, I still believe in the old time way this morning. I believe a man's got to be saved by the grace of God, filled by the Holy Ghost, called in God's service to do God's order. I'm glad God is still in the calling business this morning. That rod had budded. Moses said, you see, I couldn't do that. God did it. And it's got Aaron's name on it. And so they had it in the ark. So if there was any doubt who was in the order of the service, let me tell you something this morning real quick. Your preacher might not be the best preacher in town, but he's still your preacher. And you ought to have some respect about your preacher and about the office that God's put your preacher in. Hallelujah. And he ain't wearing no dress this morning. You ought to shout about that fact. And he can't make everybody happy. If you look around here, if you thought I could make this whole crowd happy, I wouldn't be a preacher. I'd be a magician. So get happy. Love the Lord and love each other. If you're not careful, we'll get so big, somebody else will be wanting to run things. You know something? When God runs it, even the preacher don't get to run it. Amen. Say amen right there. When God runs it, the preacher can't even run it. Let's just let God run it. Realize there's a rod that blossoms. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that reminds me about the Lord Jesus. You know something? When this rod that had budded, it showed that He was despised and rejected. And there He was put to death. But I'm glad on the third day He got up and there was great resurrection. Thank God He lives this morning. Y'all got me sidetracked. Somebody looked mean at me and I pulled my guns out. But I will remind you who's in charge this morning. Now, you'll notice the contents. The golden pot of manna, then Aaron's rod that budded. It showed Christ was despised and rejected, but He lived. And then thirdly, oh boy, this is good right here. This is so good, I don't know if we can handle this or not. There was two tables of stone put inside of that thing. You know something? The Bible said, I'm going to read this to you right here just a minute. I hope I got the right place. Deuteronomy 1, verse number 10, talking about the contents of it. In Deuteronomy chapter number 10 and verse number 1, I want you to look what the Bible says. The Bible said, at that time the Lord said unto me, Hew thee two tables of stone like in the first. Come up unto me in the mount, make thee an ark of wood. And I'll write on the tables the words that were in the first tables that thou breakest. Underline that. Thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, hewed two tables of stone like the first, and went up the mount, having the two tables in my hand. He wrote on the tables according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments that the Lord spake, and the mount out of the midst of the fire, and the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. Now how come that Moses broke the firstings? Because man couldn't keep them. Man always breaks the law. You know what he done? He went up and he met with God to give them Ten Commandments and he come back down. And you know what them Baptists was doing? They had done took their earrings off and made gold calves. And they was a dancing and partying and a serving an idol. And Moses come down, he said, what? Like Parker was preaching on the fireplace the other morning. What y'all thinking? What you thinking? You know what Moses, when he seen it, the Bible said, and his anger kindled in him, and he threw the law down and broke it. Honey, I'll remind you this morning, without the grace of God, we'd all be in hell. We've all broke the Ten Commandments. There's none good. There's no not one. But thank God, he put them in a place that could be kept. Hallelujah. The Son of God kept the broken law. He kept it whole. Hallelujah. He put it in that ark because he's the only one that could keep it. And Jesus was perfect. Let me clear you up on some doctrine right here. Somebody said Jesus could have sinned. No, he couldn't. He was God, man. He was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus could have never sinned. Man couldn't break them Ten Commandments. I'm going to tell y'all something this morning. I have purpose in my heart more right now to serve God and try to get clean with Him as I've ever been in all my... I'm a trying all my heart. But Daddy had a saying, I'll be John Brown by Tuesday. I'll be done had a bad thought or said something bad and broke the law. But I'm glad there's one that's never broke them this morning. Boy, God knew where to put the law, didn't He? Upon His Son. He's the only one that can keep it. The contents of this great ark. Not only the golden pot of manna, not only Aaron's rod that budded, but now we see the two tables of the Testament or the Ten Commandments. He kept them. I'd like to say, America, Ten Commandments are still right this morning. There's nothing wrong with the law of God. It's perfect. What's wrong with it is us. Nothing's wrong with that. It's us. Somebody said this morning on the news, they're trying to get the community to get in cooperation with the police now. How do they put trust back in the police? Honey, I've got a good method for that. I always said, play it on national news. Don't break the law. Pretty simple. Don't break the law. You'll get along with the police, dummy. How do we get social with the police? Keep the law. They don't show up to my house unless Renee calls 911. Preacher's lost it. He's went crazy. Hey, me, am I doing all right this morning? You listen to me, boys. You grow up to be a thug, you go to jail. I noticed that crowd that was looting and robbing everything. Nobody had no work boots under their arm coming out. Bunch of thugs. And you go on, you little pansy. Let them get your guns. I ain't going to shoot marbles. Yeah. You let them break down the door getting after my wife. Honey, I got something that's more than a slingshot. And I want to be right about it, but I can tell you one thing. God paid a price for me to protect my family. Don't you think I'm going to be trying to come lately, lay down that 20 thugs come in over me? Praise God. They still country boy and redneck up in here. Ain't that right, Brother David? You with me, Brother David? You with me, Brother Mike?
Yes, sir.
I'm not condoning the riot. I'm not talking about burning the house down. I'm standing for what's right. God made us to protect our home. He said, Romans 12, He said, if you break the law will break you. Nothing wrong with the law. It's the system. If you rob stores, you get shot.
Yeah. Amen.
If you steal cars, you go to jail.
Amen.
If you do drugs, you do time.
Amen. Yep.
Nothing wrong with the police. They're doing what they're called. So it reminds me about people got a problem with the preacher.
Yeah.
He didn't write the Bible.
Amen. Right.
He just reads out of it. Next time somebody got an issue with your preacher, say, hey, I guess you got a problem with the police too. He's the only one that could ever keep the law. Boy, I'm glad He's the law keeper. I'm going to tell you what, this is an amazing sermon right here. This amazing piece of text in the Bible. We see this ark and its command. I want you to build it and I want it to be first in everything that you do. Everything you do, you're going to center and focus at that place, the presence of God. The command, the contents, but what's the connection? Well, you'll notice in Exodus 25 and 10, the material that arranged it. It was made from an acacia tree. There we see the humanity of Christ. That tree had to be cut down. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus gave His life. It was cut down in the humanity side. But you'll notice this, it was overlaid with gold. There's the divine side. Would somebody help me love on Jesus? Would somebody get interested in Jesus today? It was divine, honey! Hey! It was wood, but it was overlaid with gold! The great precious of the Lord Jesus Christ! He was God-man! How do you know that? The boys ran to Him in the storm, said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He got up. And He rebuked the winds and the waves. This is what He said. Peace, be still. And it laid down. The other morning, them boys talking about the weather kept me from going hunting one morning because they tricked me. There's a lot of boys talk about the weather, but there's one that talks to the weather. Yeah, I'm glad He's the God man, Brother Adam. He can say, peace be still any day He wants to. There's nobody like our God. Quit selling our God out. He's great and marvelous this morning. Nobody like Him. The connection of it. I'm fixing to have this thought. I don't know if I can preach it or not. This connection of it, you'll notice the material that arranged it. Watch this. Not only the material that arranged it, Brother Chuck, but the mercy that was above it. Look what it said, verse 17, and thou make a mercy seat of pure gold. Place above it. You know what's above the Lord Jesus? It's mercy. You'll notice He said mercy seat. Can I tell you, that was a designated place for God to sit down. Wasn't another seat in that tabernacle, Brother Jake, but the mercy seat. That's a place where Jehovah sat. Can I tell you, the presence of God is where God sits. Boy, right above that ark, the connection of it. What's the connection of it? I'm going to tell you, I'm glad there's something between me and Him. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When they come to worship, they come before that ark. They put their sacrifice upon that mercy seat. I'm glad Aaron come in and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. I'm glad 2,000 years ago at bloody Calvary, their blood sprinkled the mercy seat. He went back to heaven, carried His blood for His people. Now when God looks my way, He don't see me. He sees the blood. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm glad He sees the blood this morning. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. I'm glad He sees the mercy seat. Oh, oh, He ought to kill me, Brother Jerry, but He had mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, Mama, He should have killed me. Oh. You know, the only thing between you and God's mercy is His Son. The connection of it. Oh Lord, it gets better. I don't know if I can do it. Boy, I'm glad it's more than outlined this morning. The material that arranged it, the mercy that was above it. But the mention that was about it. Did you know 1 Samuel 3, about five places through there you can find He called it the Ark of God. God never identified Himself with another vessel in the sanctuary. Just the Ark. The box. The presence. Where the pot of manna, the rod that budded, and the testament of the law was held. There God connected Himself with that vessel. That's the command of it. That's the contents of it. That's the connection of it. But did you know there was a crossing of it? And this is what got my mind really thinking about this ark, Brother Dwayne. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. Just turn over the right in your Bible. There are a couple of books, and you'll find Joshua, chapter number 3. There's the command of it. There's the contents of it. There is the connection of it. But now I want you to look at the crossing of it. When I read to you, they carried it on staves or sticks of wood of gold. Four men carried this box around. Everywhere they went in their tent, this box was carried by the priest. The presence of God was brought in the sanctuary that the people may meet with God. They carried this on into the battle, down to toward Jericho. We got a great representation now of what God put in our Bible. I want you to see it, and I'm going to be done preaching this morning. In Joshua chapter number 3, the Bible said in verse number 1, Joshua rose up early in the morning. They removed from Shittim. They came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. Came to pass, out of 3 days, the officers went through the hosts. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, underline that, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. There shall be a space between you and it. Verse 5. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant. Verse 6. Pass over before the people. They took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. Verse 8, command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said, and the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby shall you know that the living God is among you. Verse 13, come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan. The waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Came to pass when the people were moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks in the time of harvest. The waters came down from stood and rose up on a heap very far from the city. The Bible said they were passed over right against Jericho. Now verse 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all of Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed, underline this, clean over Jordan. Here Jordan is a picture of bloody Calvary. All through the Bible, Jordan is a representation of Calvary. And as this crossing went over, I'm going to tell you, first of all, there was an encouragement. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, there's going to be a way for you to get across. I'm glad, he said, come here and here. I'm glad there's a way from here to there. How do you get to heaven from Bowden? I'm going to tell you, it's through bloody Calvary. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get to heaven from here? Honey, you follow the ark through Jordan and take that step by faith and let Him part them waters by the good grace of God. You'll notice the Bible said, watch this, I seen it this morning, it helped me. Brother Dave and you, Miss Sherry, be coming. Said they passed clean over. It ain't nothing like being clean. They got to a place that they couldn't go by themselves. Let me tell you something, we can't be saved by ourselves. He got to a place of where it was impossible for them to get across. But I'm going to tell you something. By the goodness of God, God made an ark to get you across. Did you notice it wasn't in the priest? That's what the priest had upon them. When they walked out in Jordan, the waters parted back. They carried that chest across the covenant of God. And this is what he said. He said, hey people, you want to get across? You got to move by faith and follow it across. Can I tell you, nothing's changed yet. It's still grace by faith that we're saved. God made a way for you to get through Jordan by the death of His Son. But it's got to take faith to follow Him across. Boy, they passed clean over. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, there's no doubt in my mind, congregation this size this morning, people be lost, undone without God. They've never crossed Jordan with Jesus. But I can tell you this, you that by faith you've crossed Jordan with Jesus, you will get to the other side. I sure am glad I followed Him across and I've went clean over. Yeah, I've got dirty a few times and got some stuff on me I'm not proud of. But I sure am glad this verse is in my Bible. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Eternity is way too long to be wrong about this. If you took a survey, ma'am, listen to me. Sir, listen, the preacher this morning. If you took a survey in this country and asked how to get to heaven, there'd be so many different opinions. But this Bible says there's one way. That's by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then I want to close, not on the crossing of it, but the covenant of it. It's the Ark of the Covenant. See, God made a covenant with His Son. Hebrews, there it said that covenant was arranged. You know what that covenant was? This is what Jesus said. He said, Father, I'll go.
And I'll give my life for them. And I'll shed my pure blood that they may be clean. And now that covenant of the ark brings great redemption to anybody and everybody that would move toward Christ by faith and trust what He's done for you by the good grace of God. You listen to me, people. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't do your good into heaven. There's none good, no, not one. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can be saved this morning. You can realize you're a sinner and realize you can't get across Jordan. But there's somebody who's went ahead of you, and if you'd follow Him by faith, He'd get you to the other side.